Welcome, guys, to today's episode. If your child has ever gotten in trouble for talking too much, well, you're in the right place because today we're thrilled to chat with Ashley Iman, the author of the charming new children's book, Ruby Renee Had So Much to Say. Ashley brings us into the world of Ruby Renee, a spirited young girl whose love for taking turns into a journey of self-discovery and empowerment is through talking and telling people what she knows. We've got a lineup of thought-provoking questions that dive deep into how talkative kids can use their voices for good. So let's get comfortable, get ready to tune in, and we'll get this conversation started.
This is Back Talk by Successful Black Parenting Magazine, the most listened to podcast for parents by parents.
Okay, guys. Hello. Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Back Talk by Successful Black Parenting Magazine, your go-to podcast talk show for parents. I'm your host, Janice Robinson Celeste, also the publisher at Successful Parenting Media. Now, I need a little favor from you all you fabulous listeners out there, and I need you to go ahead and spread the word about our show. Tell your friends, shout it out, go to your followers, because sharing is truly caring, and don't forget to use our hashtag BackTalk when you post. But here's an extra special twist. You can comment live during the show for a chance to have your comments or questions featured on air. Let's make this a lively, interactive experience. Get those comments rolling in and let's dive into today's conversation. Now, guys, I want you to give a warm welcome to our special guest, Ashley Iman. Ashley is a former classroom dynamo turned author who's making her literary debut with this delightful picture book, Ruby Renee Had So Much to Say, and I'm going to show it to you later. She's currently leading a teacher residency program in Washington, D.C., right, Ashley? And
yes.
She spends her day shaping the next generation of educators, and her free time is about exploring national parks, right close to my heart, and tending to her garden. I also love gardening, so we have that together. Now, her passion for fostering curiosity and empowering young voices shines through her work, making her a true advocate for children's learning and development, and I appreciate that as an early childhood specialist. So, Ashley, we're excited to have you here to share your insight and inspiration with us today, so welcome to the show.
I am so excited to be here. This is an incredible opportunity. Can't wait to talk with you.
Now, you know what everyone wants to know. Let me just put this up on the screen for a bit for the people who are watching. Look at this beautiful cover. We're going to talk about the illustrations a little bit later. But look at this. Ruby Renee has so much to say. It's so inviting. If I saw this on the bookstore shelf, I'm pulling it down. We're going to talk about her being the main character. I just want to show the book to you guys. So, Ashley, what sparked the idea for Ruby Renee and her vibrant character?
Yeah, honestly, I was Ruby, right? When I was a kid, I was definitely really talkative, really excited about, you know, everything we were learning in class. And that can be a positive thing, but I don't know that my teachers always felt the same way. And so I got this, you know, message, some of it explicit and some of it implicit, that I needed to kind of quiet down, that I needed to not be as boisterous. And I think like that really impacted the way that I showed up both in school, but just also professionally. And I think when I really started to think about like writing this book is when I became a teacher, and then I had little Rubies in my classroom. And I just wanted to make sure that every little girl, specifically our little Black girls, knew that their voice mattered.
You know what? I absolutely think that is so important because our voices need to matter, and we need to know not to shrink, not to be the one at the table not talking and let the men talk or the boys talk and our voices not be heard, because we're always told to shut up, you know, be seen, not heard, you know? Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that you did this and you recognize that this is so important. So thank you for that. But with your rich background in education, like being, you know, teacher residency program, you know, how have your experiences as a teacher like shaped Ruby Renee's character?
And yeah, absolutely. I think in some ways, growing up, sometimes I felt silenced, right? And then when you're on the other side of it now as the teacher, I wanted to encourage my students in my classroom to want to talk, And I had mandates from my principal, from, you know, from our district of like content that we had to make it through. And as much as I wanted to hear from my students, sometimes I ended up being like the teacher in this book, silencing my students, right? And so what I was really trying to get at is, there is a way for us to make sure that all of our kids have their voices heard, or we can, you know, encourage their curiosity and recognize just some of the like constraints that our classroom teachers are under.
Absolutely. Now this is Ruby's teacher. And as you can see, she does exactly that. She squashed her voice. Now we won't give away the ending because I loved how they channeled her talkativeness into something positive. And that's what we as parents must do. If we find that our child might have a trait that gets them in trouble a lot, we need to nurture it and find a positive outlet for that. And we'll talk about that a little bit too, because that is so important. And she was very curious and very knowledgeable and brilliant. So that's a beautiful trait. What are some practical ways parents can encourage this curiosity every day without getting overwhelmed with the part of, oh my gosh, she's talking again. Oh my gosh. I'm like, okay. I gotta tell you, I'm gonna pause for a minute and go, you know, go back to the question just in case, because I kept seeing on Instagram at one point, there was viral videos of kids talking and telling a story, and the parents were getting in the car and they're like this, and the kid took too long and they would shut the door. So that's what comes to mind. But how can parents actually encourage this type of curiosity?
Yeah, I think that there's a couple of things, right? One, for sure, we can encourage our kids to be authors themselves, right? They can draw, make comic books. They can write, they can share all of the knowledge that they have by becoming a writer, right? Mm-hmm. I think we also can have kind of scheduled times where it is your opportunity to talk, right? This doesn't end up in the book, but I wanted to make sure that my parents like were featured in some way, because we had days, right? It was like Sunday after church, but before 60 minutes, we would sit around the table and we just like talked, right? It was a good opportunity for me just to tell them all the things that I had going on, but that also like, it made sense. It was on a Sunday, right? It wasn't on a Tuesday after work, my parents worked. Like, I can fully understand someone genuinely wanting to hear from their baby, but also like, I'm tired. I got a lot going on. I got to get dinner on the table. There's like things happening, right? So we had a time where it was my chance to tell them everything that I've been thinking about. You know, I had a little journal that I would write back and forth with my family. Like, we can find ways to make sure kids can talk and also families can keep their sanity, right?
Absolutely. Now, teachers can encourage and create environments that allow talkative children to express themselves freely too, without feeling restricted. Can you give the parents some ideas that they may be able to share with teachers on how to help like foster this talkativeness into a way to express it in the classroom that won't be negative or seen as negative?
Yeah. Absolutely. When I'm observing teachers now, one of the biggest pieces of feedback that I consistently give is that in their classroom, conversations are more like a tennis match, right? It's the teacher talks and then one student responds, right? And it's like kind of this volley back and forth. But what we really could do is make it more like a volleyball, right? We could have students talking to one another. And so when the teacher is like asking a great question, instead of asking the question and asking one student to raise their hand, turn and talk with a partner, and then everyone gets a chance to talk. In addition to that, just being a way to make kids, give them an opportunity to talk, it also is honestly a way to check to make sure that there's not just one student in your class that is understanding the content, that everyone is getting a chance to kind of engage in this work together.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's important. And the way that you turn the story around at the end for Ruby Renee, that was perfect. That was perfect. Now, I got to tell you, I you know, I was a teacher from everything from preschool, and you know, I ran daycare centers to high school to college, right? But I taught television production in high school, which is the best way to let voices come alive, right? And I encourage children, or they were children, they're teens, but you know, I encourage them to say what's important to them and to do videos and news broadcasts on anything that they thought they needed to put their voice to. and gave them the freedom to do that in the, you know, the constructs of the school's rules. You know, we had to follow the rules, but they were able to express themselves. And that's another way that I think that's great for children that, or even older children, teens, to be able to express themselves and be talkative, get on air, give them a microphone, let them be that person. You never know what career they might like invoke just because they're talkative. Right? Where they might have a podcast. Who knows? Give them that YouTube influencer. Let them do these wonderful things. And you know what I think would be interesting? And it'd be lovely if you could do this and use your now fame of being this, be able to be successful author, because that's what's going on here. You are, I just see it for you. And somebody like just do a poll of like famous, especially Black women, since she's a Black protagonist. I bet you my life on it, that Michelle Obama once in school, or maybe more, probably more than once, got in trouble for talking too much. Women like that, I bet you, got in trouble for talking too much. I think we did a poll and asked, probably Whoopi Goldberg for sure. These are the people, I would love to see a poll, just ask them, hey, this is my book, did you get in trouble? And I think that's so powerful for young girls to see that these strong Black women got in trouble for talking too much. I got in trouble for talking too much. Every report card, every single one. I got so much trouble from my parents. So, and you obviously did too, because you were your own inspiration for this, right? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think, so I got in trouble with teachers, but I also in some ways got a little pushback from my peers too, right? I dominated the conversation a lot in elementary school. And I think the other kind of like layer to this is I grew up in an area where I was consistently either the only Black child in my classroom or one of two. And so there was also this kind of like layer of this like loud Black girl kind of piece that was added onto this. I distinctly remember us in elementary school, like fifth grade, we're doing a vocabulary lesson, and they taught us what loquacious meant. Obviously, loquacious means to talk a lot, right? And I kind of like laughed at first. I was like, wow, look at this new cool word. I was so excited for the opportunity to learn a new word to use. But there were students in my class, I'm remembering one little boy, I'm not going to call him out, but there was one little boy in my classroom who thought loquacious sounded kind of like a Black girl name and started calling me loquacious.
Oh, man. How was that handled?
It wasn't handled because, unfortunately, Black girls, especially in, predominantly white spaces, are often not protected. So I wasn't protected. And I just kind of took that as my feedback that I needed to be quiet. And it took years for me to realize that it wasn't necessarily that I needed to be quiet in my classroom. I needed to find the space, right? There were people who wanted to hear me, right? And unfortunately, in that space, that wasn't it. Look at me now. People want to hear me now.
We want to hear from you now. That's right. You are now representing all of us. You're representing all of us. Big mouth. I mean, whatever we were called back then, talk too much. You are that person. We're putting you up on a pedestal to do that because you're doing it in such a beautiful way. For me, let's go back to the female protagonist, because having a Black female lead character in books is really important. You know, not too long ago, before we had kind of this explosion now of Black books coming out, people self-publishing everything, you could hardly find a Black female, or especially female character in a book. We had more characters with animals as protagonists than we had of Black characters. So having a Black female protagonist is powerful. Why was this representation important to you, and what impact do you hope it has on young Black girls who read your book?
Yeah. I think there's a quote by Zora Neale Hurston that I'm not going to butcher because I cannot remember the exact wording of it. But essentially for me, I really wanted for Black girls to see themselves in literature, because I love to read. I still love to read. And I remember not seeing myself in books, right? And when you don't see yourself in these spaces, you start to wonder whether or not you belong in those spaces. right? And so I thought it was really important, not only for us to have a Black girl as our main character. I wanted her to have big, beautiful, kinky hair. I wanted her to have the big glasses that I wore as a kid and have come to embrace, right? I wanted her to feel, I wanted like all of these little Black girls to see themselves in her, right? And if I'm being really honest, I also really wanted non-Black girls, I wanted boys to see this character and to fall in love with her in the same way, right? I think that children need windows and they need mirrors, right? For me growing up, I was missing the mirror, right? So I wanted to create the mirror in this book. And I can imagine, right, that so many people are lacking empathy because they don't have a way to identify or a way to connect with folks who are different from them, right? And so I think the younger we can start with people getting windows to other identities, other experiences, the more empathy we can create in this world.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And empathy is the thing. If you could teach your child empathy, the world will be a better place. Every single person mm-hmm. can do that. Because right now we have this looks like trend of people just not caring and only caring about themselves. So I would love to see empathy in the world and actually, you know, seeing what other people might feel and thinking about that before you step, before you jump, before you fuss, before you argue, before you have road rage, all these things. Think about what the other person might be going through. They might have been distracted. They might have lost someone important to them. Anything can happen. So empathy and teaching that at such a young age is so important because usually it's a small thing. And they said, what, don't sweat the small stuff, let it go. Mm-hmm. So I agree with that 100%. I love it. I talk about storytelling a little bit because it is a good story. How can parents and educators use storytelling to teach kids about the importance of their voice and knowing when to use it? Is there a way we can do that?
Yeah, there's like a school of thought called bibliotherapy, where we can use books to help students to kind of, and children in general, to kind of understand and unpack some of their feelings. And that's really helpful, especially at this age, like, you know, 8 to like 14, because oftentimes at that age, kids are not yet ready to admit something about themselves, but they can admit it about a character, right? So they can talk about their feelings, but they're actually just saying like, well, Ruby feels this way or whatever character, right? And so I think that one of the things that could be really important is just finding a book that really, you know, either aligns with what your child is currently experiencing, right? Or something that you imagine might be a concern for them in the near future, and kind of reading the book with them and just asking questions like, what do you think this character, how do you think they're feeling? What do you think they should do next, right? And then you can kind of close it out like, if you were in this character's shoes, how might you feel, right? Kind of moving into that perspective taking field. I think that that's just a great way, kind of like low stakes, ease a child in to talking about their feelings.
Oh, that's a great way to do it. And that's great advice. So I think parents should pick up on that, and we can do that. That would be helpful for making their voices bigger, because I think that's really mm-hmm. important for children to have a big voice. Let's talk about feedback. Since your book's release, what feedback have you gotten from parents and children that really resonated with you or surprised you?
Yeah, I'm mostly getting like lots of folks who are identified with Ruby, right? A lot of people who are saying like, yeah, I was the talkative kid. And I'm just thinking to myself, where were you all when I was growing up? I needed you, right? So I'm a little surprised by how many people are really kind of identifying with Ruby and seeing themselves in her. And I think what's been really interesting is how many teachers that I've been speaking to kind of identify with the teacher, right? And in some ways, it's kind of like holding up a mirror to them. What am I doing to make sure that all of the Rubies in my classroom feel heard and respected, right? That's a follow-up, right? Something that for us to think about.
That is perfect. Yes, absolutely. Because as a teacher, you're frustrated because you have to get through your lesson plan, right? You have to make sure all of the children get equal time, or at least the lesson, so that they understand it. So when they get home, you know, they know what they're doing for homework, et cetera. So I can understand a frustration on a teacher's part because of time limitations, et cetera. Then you have a talkative student kind of dominating. I understand that. But yes, we still give them avenues that they can nurture that talent, because it is a talent, you know, it's not a detriment. So yes, absolutely. Now, the illustrations are amazingly beautiful. Please tell us a little bit about the illustrator.
Oh my gosh, Gladys is wonderful. Oh, so once we, had kind of solidified what we wanted the story to look like, we had multiple illustrators that we kind of went through to see who was going to really capture what we want. Like, I wanted someone who was going to really bring Ruby to life, right? I have a picture in my head of what Ruby looked like. I am an absolutely terrible artist, though. Like, I couldn't draw it for her, but I kept just trying to explain it. And Gladys really did get my vision, right? And so she did such a great job of like just like the texture of her skin. She just feels so, I don't know, warm. I just think Gladys did a wonderful job here.
She absolutely did. She's very relatable. I think that's what it is. Yeah. And you know, the story is relatable, but the character itself is relatable as well. Let's go into a little bit about, you know, your success here, because Ruby Renee's adventures are obviously just beginning. Is there more for her in the future? Like, can you give us a sneak peek into what maybe other challenges she might face in future books?
I hope so. Nothing official to announce yet, but I would love to explore more of what Ruby is up to. I think Ruby is one of those characters that honestly, she could absolutely, she's just kind of like funny, right? Like, you're right. She's relatable. She's like, I think that you could put her in any situation and just hilarity will ensue, right? And so there's nothing official to announce, but I absolutely hope that this is not the last time we hear of Ruby.
I hope not either, because she could be like Barbie, you know, how Barbie has all the careers and does everything. I think Ruby, there's nothing holding her back, you know, sky's the limit. So we should do that. Now, I want to just acknowledge Spoonful OS, who is on X, that's also known as Twitter. They said they're enjoying and loving what we do. So I want to just give you a shout out and say thank you for that feedback. We appreciate it. You guys can put your comments. Obviously, Twitter is coming through now for comments on our Facebook. You can do it on YouTube. You can do it on Twitter. And obviously, we had some issue with our Instagram feed, which we'll figure out, guys, for the future. I'm not sure what happened there. I think someone might have flagged us for some reason. That's what it looks like. I'm not sure why. But anyway, we'll get that up and working for the next broadcast. And if you want to comment, we will put it on the air, and any questions as well. So let me ask you, for parents who are interested in possibly pinning their own book, because you know you have a lot of author wannabes out there that want to get into this realm. You got with Penguin Books, that's big. Mm-hmm. So can you give them any advice if they're interested in being a children's book writer, author, illustrator, whatever it is that they might be interested in pursuing this type of career?
Yeah, I think my best advice is to look into some of those like professional organizations for authors, right? I wrote this book actually years ago during the pandemic, and I've just been kind of holding on to it. I didn't know what to do. At first, I was just kind of submitting, you know, to different organizations, different publishing houses, not really hearing anything back. And then actually the Authors Guild was holding, it wasn't a competition. It was more like, if you would like advice, you can submit your manuscripts, and we have all of these really wonderful literary agents who will review and provide advice. I immediately submitted, and I think they got a little overwhelmed with how many people wanted that, and they closed it. But thankfully, I had got my manuscript in there just in time. And that is actually what started this entire process, right? Mm-hmm. Authors Guild got me in front of a wonderful literary agent who understood what I was trying to do, gave me so much great feedback. And then once the manuscript was finalized, was able to pitch it to different publishing houses, right? And so I don't think that I would have been able to be published by Penguin, and specifically Coquila, love Coquila, if I had not submitted my manuscript that day to the Authors Guild. And it was free, completely free.
Wow, it was meant to be. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm so happy for you. Let's talk about a little bit about those people who might want to follow Ruby's adventures. Do you have a website just for your book and Ruby? Can you talk about that?
Yes, it's all brand new because I'm really new to this, but I just made a website. It's just ashleymon.com as I kind of build out this work, links to, you know, my Instagram and LinkedIn. Again, all very new, but it's there.
Okay, fantastic. And where can they find your book? What stores are the book in? I know it's on Amazon because I've seen it, but can you talk about where can we find it? And are you going on tour? Are you doing any author signings? Where can we find you? Where can we find the book?
Yeah, it is available everywhere starting May 14th. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target has it, which is really wild. Also going to always plug our independent bookstores. I am based in the D.C. area, and so I will be at Sankofa, D.C., a wonderful local bookstore in Washington, D.C. I'll be there on May 19th. And then I'm also going to go over to Mahogany Books. They have a couple of different locations. I'll be at the Southeast D.C. location on June 1st.
Well, I can't wait to see it everywhere, and I'm going to smile every time I see it, I guarantee you. I just want to thank you for coming on the show, but I want to know if there's anything else that you want to talk about in your adventure with this book that you want to share with our parents before we go.
Yeah, I think the last thing is I just want to plug your local public radio station. So much of my curiosity as a child, and still honestly to this day, was nurtured by public radio. So if you don't know your local public radio station, npr.org, check it out. Donate. It's just like such a great way to learn about your world.
Oh, absolutely. For sure. Well, Ashley, I appreciate you taking the time out to come join us today. And I really do. So thank you again.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. And I want to give a big shout out to all of you who are tuning in live and later for the replay, engaging with us here at Back Talk by Successful Black Parenting Magazine, the syndicated podcast that's a must for parents. Make sure you follow us on Facebook at Black Parenting One and on Instagram at Successful Black Parenting. Don't forget to swing by our website, because that's really important, at successfulblackparenting.com, where you'll find loads of excellent resources to help you excel in your parenting journey. Now, we'll be back next week with more. And until then, I wish you all the best and much success. Take care. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to Back Talk by Successful Black Parenting Magazine. We'll see you soon.